Good evening, Sharks fans. It is Sunday, April 28th. It's Game of Thrones Day, or so I'm told. I didn't actually watch it. The Sharks fall 4-3 in Game 2 against the Colorado Avalanche in the second round. We will get to breaking that all down in just a minute here. But first, if you are new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button. We go live after every single game. I've been doing it for nearly 5 years now, something like that. Also, check out tilltownusa.com. Lots of great content on there, as well as our SoundCloud, our Instagram, Twitter. AJ does a great job with the pregames on the Instagram, or the gram, as the kids call it, I think. Maybe they do. I don't know. Speaking of kids, I would like to introduce my co-host for the evening, my cohort. Alex, how you doing after that game, buddy?
Good. It was a solid 20-minute effort. But the last 10 minutes really could cost the Sharks. But yeah, a solid 20-minute effort from the San Jose Sharks for Game 2 sounds very familiar, like last round.
Yeah, we'll get into it quite a bit, but it honestly felt like the opposite of last game, where the first 20 minutes the Sharks aren't really the one in it, and then they turned it around in the last 40 they dominated. We will get into all that in just a minute. But before we do that, feel free to join us down there in the YouTube chat. As always, we will do our best to interact with you guys. There's just two of us tonight, so we'll do our best. Keep an eye on the chat and respond where we can. Also, tweet at us at TealTownUSA, TealTownUSA hashtag. I am at ChrisJWS on the Twitter, and he is, I believe, A.L.
Al Martine.
It's hard to spell. Just tweet at me. Ignore Al.
You can also tweet at me and avoid Chris.
Yeah. Though in our green room tonight, we did have Swedish fish. Take that, Sharks. If you don't know, just go look at Shalana Goldman's Twitter. Before the game, Gambrell was out. Haley was in. Honestly, it didn't seem that impactful tonight one way or another. I didn't have strong feelings on that. So we'll just go ahead. Let's jump into the game here. Sharks actually score first, which is not typical of them in this playoffs, but Kane picks up the rebound of a burnt shot on the doorstep to make it 1-0 at 12:03. Hurdle with another assist on there. Great work on the boards by Radil and Hurdle leading up to that one. And this is at the beginning of the game when the Sharks are really controlling the pace of play. The Avalanche can't make a lot of happen, and the Sharks are spending a lot of time in their zone. Al, what was your takeaway around that first goal?
You know, the first goal, I mean, that entire first period, the Sharks' defensive core, Carlson, Burns, Dillon, even Braun, were really controlling McKinnon, speed up front. And eventually the Sharks broke through. And that goal looked very similar to the Columbus and Boston game from last night. A very simple shot to the net, and Kane, using his really tall body, screened the goalie and then get an easy rebound. That was probably one of the few times tonight where the Sharks took the easy play and not going for the fancy SportsCenter highlight that usually gets the Sharks into a lot of trouble when they overthink their play. Really good first period, but I thought the Sharks kind of stopped doing the simple play until the first power play of the night. And then the momentum kind of stopped. I don't know what happened, but that first power play is when the story kind of changed.
That first power play, I believe they got no shots on goal during that. A lot of ineffective entries, and they didn't really even get set up until the second half of that. That does seem like kind of a shifting point where they definitely stopped dominating quite as much, because they were dominating them early. They were controlling the neutral zone. They were back-checking really well. Colorado was definitely getting stifled quite a bit there. And that was probably the turning point right around there. It was about 5 minutes left in the first when that power play came up. So after the first, I mean, it was 1-0. Didn't look bad for the Sharks. You know, they had a few quiet moments, but overall, I was very happy with that period. The Sharks led in shots after that period.
I do want to mention, though, that entering this game, the Sharks are still missing Pavelski. They're still missing Donskoy. And also, they're still missing Gambrell. And in tonight, they had Haley in. So This is a much slower Sharks lineup going against a speedy Colorado lineup, and not too sure. That seemed to really did play a factor in the second and third period. And Haley only played 5 minutes tonight and really wasn't much of a factor at all.
Yeah, no need to be doom and gloom about this one. I mean, the series is 1-1 right now. Very, the last series ended up being, 1-1 as well. And look how that worked out. That's going to happen all over again. But seriously, though, after the first, shots were 11-6 for the Sharks. Overall, I mean, it was a solid period. Going to the second, though, I mean, Colorado definitely made adjustments. It seemed like they were doing a lot less of those long stretch passes. They were doing a lot more quick passing, really kind of using their skill and their speed, because they could not build speed to the neutral zone in the first. In the second, you could see it start to happen more and more. And it was about 9 minutes in, so at 11:39, Tyson Berry gets a deflection from Landeskog to make it 1-1. And I think leading into that, I saw a lot of puck watching. This seems to be what happens when a really fast team gets going fast with the Sharks. They get mesmerized by the first two guys into the zone. You see all five guys staring at them. Then suddenly the back three guys just can go and do whatever the hell they want. And that's, to me, that's what that setup looked like. It was, they were able to dance around, do whatever they felt like. That got in there off a deflection, 1-1.
Yeah, I felt like that was also the case. And also, I felt the Sharks' inability to get the second goal in that first period was also a major factor. Sharks played terrific in the first period, but I felt not getting that second goal and that put-away goal, that was kind of a victory for Colorado, only being down 1-0 when they were significantly played. And I would say that's a real big victory for Colorado. And then second and third, they really did outplay us. Hat tip to Colorado, but they really did change up their game plan. I did see a lot of adjustments on the third period by Pierre DeBoer, but second period was a total flip the script.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I felt like for a little bit in the second period, they did kind of regain their kind of dominant kind of thing for a little bit there. They had a good 2 or 3 minutes where they retook control a bit. And then on what probably should have been icing, Tyson Berry puts one away. I mean, if I'm honest, though, this is where you have to play to the whistle. And it should have been an icing. Every angle I've seen say it should have been an icing. Even JR, known Sharks hater, thinks it should have been an icing.
Yeah, I agree with you. They should have played to the whistle. That's what got Vegas in trouble in games 5-6. And I also think that if you look at all the goals this season, look at the cat. If you look at all the goals this season, or this game for Jones, they weren't bad goals against for Jones. I thought Jones played pretty well tonight. The rebound control was pretty good. I just think the Sharks defense in transition was also a major factor. Apparently your cat has an issue with Jones defense or the Sharks defense.
Yeah, no, for all people listening on audio only, they have no idea what's going on. But yes, Edgar is visiting here. Just wanted to say hi. He needs attention. But I mean, it is what it is. That should have been an icing. But you know what? That's not why that goal went in. And again, you play the whistle, blown calls happen, Vegas. We're not going there. Anyway,
we'll let that one stop.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, that was the second. Clearly, it went Colorado's way. It ended up as 2-1 in favor of Colorado after that. So, going into the third, definitely not a impossible situation, something you definitely overcome. But while they're better in the third, it just didn't feel like they could regain that pace. And they looked a little tired. If I look at, say, what it looked like from the get-go, they looked a little bit tired. Their legs were not quite there as much as they were at the beginning of the game.
I mean, Michael Carlson got hurt, I think, pretty early in the third period. So that means that players are double shifting. I thought the Sharks played pretty well in the third period. I thought the goaltender efforts for Jones and I'm going to look up Gruber were pretty good back and forth. There was a good segment in the third period where they were both making outstanding saves. I have more questions on Brent Burns' defense because I thought he was going for the highlight play. We'll get to that a little bit. But I thought for Dylan, I thought he was not the sharpest player tonight. I thought he was out of position playing with with Erik Karlsson. Maybe he was not in the right spot. But Matt Nieto got the third goal for Colorado, which, of course, hat tip to Long Beach native. I don't know if he burned all the goodwill that he had playing for the Sharks, but of course.
Yeah, well, it'd be so Calvert got several whacks in front of the net, mostly all alone up there, got several whacks, and then the Long Beach native got the last touch on it. Honestly, I think it was going to go in either way. But yeah, at 9:50, so that is now 3-1 Colorado, definitely a much bigger deficit. Although it didn't feel as scary as being down two goals to Vegas to me, because I feel a lot more confident in the Sharks' ability to get goals against Colorado.
Yes. Also, I do think that I think Colorado's defense is really performing out, you know, with their young talent and speed and chemistry. Chemistry on our defensive core or defensive lineup hasn't really been there. It hasn't really gelled as well as people. We have the talent. We have the optics of Vlasic, Karlsson, Burns. We have the Norris winners, but the chemistry hasn't been there. So if there's anything on the defensive lineup, it's definitely that they have us on. So, maybe they just have the right lineup at the right time working together.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to their defense. Their defense, especially in the offensive zone, I mean, that's also part of what turned it around for them, is how much their defense was involved in the second half of the game. They were engaged and they were putting on a show. And hopefully what the Sharks can do is they can take advantage of some of that youth that, you know, I'm pretty sure they can get them to make some mistakes. So from there, it looked like it was not going to go the Sharks' way, but, we get that teaser goal, make it 3-2 at 4:34. There's kind of a weird scramble. Kerfoot loses his footing. Burns shoots from Sorensen. Kane gets a deflection, makes it 3-2. A little bit interesting with about 5 minutes to go. Then Timo Meier takes a trip at 3:45 that they kill off. Then they go empty net, and McKinnon puts it away at 1:02, effectively sealing it 4-2, but Burns on the power play with 10 seconds left makes it 4-3, and it would remain that. So pretty kind of crazy sequence there, but didn't really go the Sharks' way in the end.
Now on the Nathan McKinnon goal, there was a Brent Burns kind of went for the big hit, trying to go for the keep the puck in the offensive zone. I kind of have an issue with that play just because I think he should have played more conservative. Maybe just a lie on it. Because it seemed like to me that, that's a risky play. And if it works, it works. But, definitely the odds were in his favor going for that hit. And I don't think there's any suspension going to be laid down for Brent Burns. He was totally in the right for doing that. But it was not the right hockey play at that time. So Sharks lose 4-3, but I do wonder if we could be talking about 3-3 going into an overtime setting if Burns just plays back and maybe be a goaltender.
Yeah, there are a couple different things. I mean, I think the Sharks were effectively one, maybe two mistakes away from being able to make it more interesting or even win tonight. Like, this wasn't very far off. Like, as critical as can be of how their play matched up in the second and the third, they were not that far off. Like a little bit more here, a little bit more there. Maybe a few guys coming back from injury. I think they're just fine. And we saw what they can do in the first period. We saw what they can do at the end of last game. So anyone feeling doom and gloom right now, chill out. Chill out. It's 1-1. Like, I don't think the series was ever going to be a sweep. Colorado was, you know, they destroyed a number one seed pretty effectively. So this is a very good team, and we should definitely, you know, should definitely respect them.
Yeah. When the Vegas series ended, I did say this was going to be a seven game series because speed is still an issue for the Sharks, and that's what Colorado has in surplus. So if Donskoy, Pavelski, and the rest of the forward depth is pretty weakened, right now it is. If that's the case, then Colorado does have the advantage going into their home turf, so or home ice.
Yeah, I think one thing I also noticed, I noticed Colorado seemed to do a better job of keeping the puck off the boards, because that seemed like that was one area where the Sharks were extremely effective in winning a lot, was those board battles, being able to protect the puck against the boards. And it seemed like they kept the puck more in the middle of the ice in the offensive zone, as opposed to on the boards where maybe San Jose was a little bit stronger. But there were definitely areas where you could see San Jose was extremely effective. So it's not all doom and gloom.
No, plenty of time to retool. I believe game three is on Tuesday. So plenty of time to retool. It will be extremely cold in Colorado. So don't know what's going to happen there, but this team's Colorado plays extremely different in Colorado than any other team, just like Vegas. So they feed off that home stands. You know, I am very curious how this team plays in all, or how the San Jose Sharks play in game three to start the game. I'm wondering if Pavelski might return for game three. I think that is very much, he's been out for almost, I would say, for almost 5 days. So I think it's about time we see Pavelski or even Donskoy. He's been out for almost 9 days. So it's about time he comes back. Yeah, I think Donskoy.
I have a little bit more hope for Donskoy because I honestly wonder if Pavs will be back in these playoffs, or at least anytime really soon. I know the beginning of that game, game three, is going to be important because, you know, playing at altitude in Denver, they're talking about this in the chat a little bit, but that is always it's always kind of a nightmare to be able to play at altitude. So I think that's a big one. I assume that they're probably, if they aren't flying out tonight, they're flying out first thing tomorrow morning to start getting some practices up in Mile High there, because I know just from experience, you're running and training and doing all that stuff at altitude is just entirely different than it is here.
You know, if you just look at the time on ice, Pierre DeBoer did match Colorado with speed. Nyquist had 17 minutes. I think that's the most he's played all playoffs. Kane only had 20, but we've seen him play 25, 26 minutes. Thorin only had 15 minutes. Timo was 17 and Hurdle with 22 minutes. O'Blank surprisingly only had 15 minutes, but no.
To no one's surprise, though, Haley had less than 5 minutes, which, you know, I guess it's easier to not look terrible when you aren't playing very much.
Yeah, but Haley is really only on the ice because of the injuries currently on the Sharks. Like I said, Donskoy, Pavelski, Gambrell is not on the ice, so that's really the big issue.
My criticism, honestly, of that whole thing comes more earlier in the season, where when you didn't have to play Haley, you were taxing guys, you know, maybe that little bit more, one more shift a night, you know, and that's the stuff that adds up.
And I know there's an argument to like, well, if you put Haley on the ice, you're giving the Sharks a new look. You can take the boards. You can at least make the Sharks a new dimension, but the Sharks can't play that way. They really do need to mix all three styles. And this is one of those games where I think you might look back and say, if the Sharks lose this series, they really did blow game two because they won the power play. They lost the home ice.
This is definitely a could have had type game. Like, it'll be one of those ones, like, if you needed one more, that'll be the one.
I mean,
AJ saying in the chat, a 70% Pavs is better than 100% Haley. Well, yeah, no kidding. And I guess I need to back off the microphone a bit because Laurel's saying I'm very loud.
I'll take a 50% Pavelski over a 140% Haley.
Yeah, I mean, and it is what it is. I mean, like, this game, there's always going to be ebbs and flows in every playoff series, so that's why I say, like, don't panic from this one. If the Sharks have to win one or two in Colorado, come back with a split 2-2, or, they can win both, great. But, yeah, all they need to do is come back with a split. That's really all they have to do to effectively make it a three-game series. Don't expect any of this to be easy. It's never easy. There is no such thing as an easy playoff series, at least not beforehand. It happens. But, AJ saying you should be eating your mic as opposed to me backing off. So there you go.
AJ.
And you can say hi to Edgar here.
What I will say, though, is Peter Gruber, he's legit. He's played well the first round against Calgary, played pretty well in game one. He's no fluke.
I tend to agree. I know from, talking to Ryan Clark in our preview, he was saying, really the thing with Grubauer and the thing he struggled with most is moving side to side. And that's, what the Sharks have to do. They have to make sure they're making a move or getting in his eyes and getting deflections, that type of stuff. He can definitely be beat, but he was impressive in the first round. And Calgary is not, some people thought they were a fraud, but they're definitely no joke offensively. They were not able to beat him very often. They, couldn't beat the Grubauer.
I mean, he was the backup goaltender before Holtby got in last year for the Washington Capitals. He has a lot of potential. I'm wondering just how far he can take the Avalanche going forward.
Yeah, well, you never know. And Christine says she's just here for the Edgar sighting. So there you go. There's Edgar right there. He's not in the mood to be held, but he is in the mood to be a lap cat today. Eye of the camera, buddy. Overall, not the game we wanted. And I think, we move on from this one. Next game up. Short-term memory, forget it. They were really that close, and we could be talking about a 3-1 series lead in the better part of a week. So next game is on Tuesday at 7 p.m. I was hoping it'd be a little earlier since I will be in the Eastern time zone this week, but no, the NHL hates me. So any thoughts on this game, anything else before we move on to a little bit of wraparound action?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the chat right now, and I'm seeing that they maybe should sit Ryan and put Heat in instead. And that's kind of interesting because I think this might be the series he plays a little bit more than last series. Considering how much offensive weapons, you might want to just put one more weapon on the defensive lineup. And Ryan only played 7 minutes, so it would be interesting to see where he fits. Maybe you slot him in for against Dylan and Heed. I could see that working out. That's been a lineup that we've seen this season. So I could see that working out. Maybe they play with that before game three or potentially game four.
AJ asking, has PDB ever dressed 70? I can't think of any time he's ever done that. Maybe
this, I'm wrong. This season or during the playoffs?
Because he's dressed overall.
He's dressed 70. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I mean, I would think you could make a pretty good argument for 7D over putting in Haley, if I'm totally honest, because that seventh defenseman might bring more value.
I mean, who knows? I think at this point, I'm willing to try it because only playing a person for 5 minutes, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. And Testitos 316 saying pull a goal too early. I disagree. I mean, honestly, you have very little to lose. I mean, like, the only thing you could argue, maybe they should have gotten firmer possession first. I don't know. And the problem wasn't possession. They got possession. They turned it over. The puck got off the ice. I mean, it happens. It's a high risk, slightly higher reward proposition. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't work that often. It gives you a slightly better chance of tying it up. So
I mean, when they had possession, Burns shot it towards the net, and I don't know what he was doing there. Maybe he could have waited or maybe passed it back, but they had possession. They were 6-on-5 entering the zone, but Burns shot it towards the net.
He has always been known to take some ill-advised shots of just like when you have an empty net, maybe make sure that's getting through, or there's a plan to that other than just let's throw it up there and see what happens. I don't know, that is kind of a Burnsian type thing to do though.
And for those who are suggesting EK65 or Burns to forward, those scenarios, I'm considering banning all of you right now.
Yeah, I don't think you have the mod powers, do you? Or do I, mm-hmm. do I have to unwrench you? We will not ban people for suggesting Burns to forward. Unless something, but you know, I'm not going to go there. Will not go there. But
yeah, all right.
I don't think, I mean, lineup wise, I think the Sharks just make adjustments based on health if there are adjustments to make. Otherwise, I think they're just going to have to go with what they have tonight until they have something more.
Time for you know what?
Have a gum and goddamn courtesy to give him a reach around. It's wrap around. Okay, so earlier today, the bunch of jerks played the team that from New York that no one cares about. You know, you got the box score up there.
Yeah.
So, they won 2-1. I actually didn't get a chance to watch this one. Did you get a chance to check this one out?
No, but I've really did watch a little bit of it, but not too much. I mean, for the Islanders, they've now lost 2 straight after winning 4 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The main story, though, tonight is that the Hurricanes goaltender came off injured, and now they're playing their backup. So it's going to be interesting to see what that means going forward. I mean, the Hurricanes, great story overall. Do they have enough talent to make it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals? They have a lot of momentum. They have a great coach who's been there personally as a player.
And they're up 2-0 in the series. So, I mean, that can go a long way.
Yes. I don't want to bring up, you know, regular season predictions, and because I know it's not worth much during this time of the year, but no one really expected
about your regular season predictions.
Yes, I'm aware of that. But no one really expected the Islanders to make it this far. And, you know, we see this time and time again where maybe this is the end of the road for the Islanders. They have a lot of talent. Maybe it's just not seasoned.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting them not to make the playoffs at all. So, I mean, they kicked Pittsburgh's ass, and we're all grateful for that. I honestly like the bunch of jerks with a two-game lead in this series. But my gut says whoever comes out of that Bruins and Blue Jackets series alive is probably going to be the one to go to the finals to represent the East. I mean, that was, I don't know if you've been watching that series. That series definitely has been pretty chippy. They've been laying a lot of go.
That was a great game last night. 3-2 over Blue Jackets over Bruins. That series looks like it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. Both goaltenders are playing really great.
We have a quote coming in from Pashelka on Twitter. Thanks, Felix. I'll take the high road and wait for the league's apology tomorrow. Yeah, that's all I felt about that icing. I was like, oh, hopefully the league will be apologizing to us for that one. And hopefully firing the ref, too.
We have breaking news, boys. The NHL has already apologized to Colorado for Brent Burns' hit.
And they would apologize for the 3 goals as well. And yeah, he's just like that. He is in and he is out. But I imagine the NHL was like, we're sorry that that they scored 3 on you.
And there's our apology watch 2019 from AJ Strunk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that joke will never get old. But anyways, so yeah, there's those series. Then obviously there is the other. Oh, I have an angry cat.
Chris is going to murder his cat by tonight.
Edgar is not wanting to be held anymore tonight. But there are other series in the West, though. Dallas and St. Louis. I've been kind of rooting for St. Louis just because, you know, our good friends over there, Let's Go Blues Radio. But also Dallas is looking kind of scary, if I'm honest. Like, they're really putting it together right now.
I mean, they have all the speed. They have Ben Bishop, who is probably going to be the Vezina Trophy winner for this season. He was leading the league in save percentage this year. The question has always been, can they put it together? And they got in the second to last day in the playoffs. Very much, I don't know how far they can go, because I like St. Louis's roster a little bit better than Dallas. I think there's just a little bit more weapons. Problem with St. Louis, though, is I think Dallas has more stars compared to...
they have stars, you say?
I unintentionally did a pun.
Yeah, I hate you. I'm just going to go Ray Ratta right now and say, I hope you eat a giant pile of bile or something. I'm just going full rat out here.
Oh, man. Well, St. Louis does know how to sing the blues, right?
I'm just doing that Ratto contemptuous silence. Have you ever listened to Ray Ratto on with Mr. T, where Tom Tolbert would just say something and Ratto would just be silent, and it would be you could hear the contempt coming through the radio for that like 5 seconds of silence. You just know he was staring at him with daggers, and that's how I feel right now about you, Alex. No more puns. Yeah, so I mean, and I think I believe it was Sleepy Mofo said in the chat, or sorry, A0 said it, just everyone's scary at this time, one game at a time, because, you know, team can look like a world beater today and awful tomorrow. It's true, and this is why I say, like with the Sharks, relax. Like, it's one game. I know people are definitely, you know, I see a little bit of doom and gloom on Twitter. It's fine. It's fine. You know, if it's 3-1, then maybe we'll talk about how not fine it is. They've already shown they can fix that problem.
I guess, who do you think has the easiest road to the Stanley Cup after the first round? Would you still say it was the Sharks after being the Vegas Golden Knights 7 games, or is it potentially the Boston Bruins, you know, even the Stars? Who are the four?
I mean, if I'm honest, I think it might be Boston, just because, I mean, they've been there, done that. Ohio doesn't win anything. So, I don't know. It might be, but in theory, it could be the Sharks, because, you know, Colorado, I feel like there is inexperience that they can expose there. There are weaknesses. You know, they can do things like they can dominate puck possession. They can stifle them. If the question is, can they execute on it? But I don't think anyone, there is no easy road ever. Like, they're just, it just doesn't happen. But if you remember the series 3 years ago with Nashville in the second round, that was, you know, a lot of back and forth. That was one of the hardest series they had during the entire run before they got to the conference final. So, you know, I this is why it's one game at a time. I'm enjoying the ride, and you know, if the ride ends in heartbreak, it'll just make it that much sweeter that one time they finally get through. Someday, please, while I'm alive, that would be nice.
I do think it is essential though that the Sharks need at least win one game in Colorado. They can't go down to Colorado and be down 3-1, similar to Vegas. They can't do that this time around.
3-1 is effectively a death sentence in the playoffs. Like they overcame it one time, but you know, you can only make history so many times in a single playoffs. Don't go testing that one again, please. They have to get one of the two in Colorado.
Yeah, I just don't see win game three, win game four. Don't rely on Jones coming back to life and being the Jones 2016 like we.
I think he has been. I mean, Jones has been entirely effective, and he was at no point the problem tonight. Like he made some difficult saves, and I mean that's what they need. Like the defense, I thought overall was very effective tonight. Like they definitely had their bad moments, but they weren't letting Colorado run roughshod all over them. I mean, they were doing the best they could to try to contain it when they got their cycle going, because that was pretty crazy to watch. But overall, the defensive effort wasn't the problem. I think it was being able to dictate pace, and when Colorado has a good shift or two, start taking it back into their end and hitting them and making them play some defense and slowing down their momentum. And that's where it was really lacking. Like they couldn't go the other direction. Colorado was just kind of had the puck on a string for a good 5 or 10 minutes straight at a time, and that's not going to do it.
Yeah, unlike the Vegas series, Colorado has scored in all three lines. Vegas had the Stone line, Pacioretty. Really, Colorado has a decent depth all four lines. So this is going to be a consistent effort to stop Colorado. And I
think we have to acknowledge that Colorado has adjusted to the Sharks. It's time for the Sharks to adjust back, because they figured out some things. Okay, here's how we can maybe slow down the jumbo line a little bit. Here's how we can get through the neutral zone, because that there were in-game adjustments, but don't ever expect an in-game adjustment from Peter DeBoer. If we're lucky, we'll get a game-to-game adjustment.
Yeah, but good thing is that we have two more days, or the Sharks have two more days to figure this out, and there's plenty of reinforcements coming back. So hopefully this, with the new guys coming back, game three, though, feels like it's going to be a defining series game. And normally, if whoever wins the next game out of a 1-1 series tie usually wins the series.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think game three is going to be huge for the Sharks. A couple comments from the chat. One is that A012345, he said he'll blame you. If we lose series, he'll blame you. It was your puns that did it. And I guess from what they're saying is that sounds like Vlasic was not happy about the Barry goal from the icing. Besides that comment about him waiting for waiting for the apology from the NHL. But it is what it is there. Burge saying just don't want to put one in your own net, a la Dan Boyle. Yeah, I remember that series. That was a good time. And Jerry F is feeling optimistic. We all are. Like, seriously, it's always going to be a little bit down after a loss. It's just, it's hard to get as excited. But and Felix reminding everybody, smash that subscribe button if you're new here. We do this every single post game, and looks like people are noticing my Alexa is making rings behind me. Apparently, y'all are scary that you're paying that close attention to my background. I'll have to ask Alexa what's up. Alex, take over.
Okay. At this point, we already kind of went over everything. But chat, if you have any questions, we've been on for about 40 minutes. Now is a good time.
And my Alexa just said that I have a delivery that just came in, a micro SD card, apparently. So yeah, I mean, chat, last call, because I don't think we're gonna go particularly long tonight. I love though that you guys noticed my Alexa in the background there. Also, Felix pointed out, yes, check out Teal Town USA for all the great content. Hopefully next post game will be better, hopefully, because losses are never fun. A01234 5 saying, should Alex get a cat too? I think you should.
I have a dog and cats suck.
Wrong. No, just wrong. And your dog needs to make an appearance at some point, I guess, here. And Felix asking, you know, what are our thoughts on the first round upsets? I mean, to me, I think it's great. Some people are saying, oh, this means the regular season is meaningless. I completely disagree with that. It just means that the regular season doesn't guarantee anything. It gives you certain advantages. It does let you play a lower seed, potentially. It does let you play at home more. But there are no guarantees. It's not the NBA where if you're a one seed, you're damn near guaranteed to get through the next round. You have to fight every single round.
I don't know. I feel like you need a reward, you know, the top teams for finishing in the first place. I think a lot of the issue with the playoffs seeding is, of course, how it's not 1-8, and it's going to be a couple more years until that's changed. And that's a different discussion for a different time.
The President's Trophy winner effectively did play the 8, though.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, it's still not the traditional 1-8.
Well, we know why they have the divisional setup. They want more of those sweet Penguins Flyers matchups and Pens.
I think the argument for the playoff seeding the way it is now is that it builds rivalries. Like, if it wasn't for the seeding how it is now, we potentially wouldn't have gotten the Vegas Sharks rivalry the way it is now. Like, I think it's pretty great that we have this connection with Vegas. They've kind of taken LA Kings' spotlight, you know, considering how the Kings have kind of dipped, but of course, playoffs, competition, and everything else. When there's real competition in hand, I think LA Kings are still talking crap about the 3-0 series drop that the Sharks did, but of course, I digress. But
I mean, they always will until the Sharks win a cup. I mean, this year is the exception, not the rule, too. Like, most years, the President's Trophy winner advances out the first round, but it's just there is not a guarantee. You could win the President's Trophy and still lose in the first round, as we all know.
Felix, I'm going to take your statement in the chat. I'm intrigued about how the Phoenix or how the Pacific rivalries are going to look when the Seattle blank 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 team comes in officially. I mean, Seattle already kind of has a rivalry with the Bay Area. Seattle has the Seahawks versus the 49ers.
I think there'll be that Vancouver Seattle rivalry too, because there's definitely gonna be they're gonna be encroaching in the territory there.
True. Who else?
Seattle. I mean, for real, you know, Vancouver's real rival is not burning down their own town, but
would you also say Calgary, or is that too far in the middle?
Maybe. I don't know. I think the three Canadian teams are kind of in their own little world there. I expect though that it'll be Arizona going to the
Houston,
going to the Central.
Yeah, but we've been saying that for years, even like 7 or 8 years. So until that happens, I won't even. But Seattle will have San Francisco or the Bay Area, Vancouver, and potentially even like if Arizona does in fact move to Houston, they might have something to do with Oklahoma because the Seattle Supersonics moved to Oklahoma. So you might have that connection. I'm just thinking of things Seattle versus blank 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 team. But there's Seattle has a lot of great things, but it really does depend on how good Seattle becomes, because Vegas give a hat stamp to their GM. They made a lot of great moves. They were great right away. They also had, I think when Vegas first season, they had 10 straight home games. If that sounds right to me. So they had like 10 straight home
games. They had a lot of home games early. I mean, but with Vegas, I mean, it was kind of lightning in a bottle. I think you could get the exact same rules to Seattle. I'd say it's highly unlikely that they repeat that, for one thing, because I think less teams will throw their wallet at them, and yes, also more teams will understand the game better, and they won't get caught off guard.
Yes, but Vegas did have, you know, two things that worked in their favor, and I'm not going to say that machines are good at having your work your favor.
No, let's not go there.
I'm not going there at all. But it did put a spotlight on that team, and spotlights for a hockey team, even for a established franchise like the San Jose Sharks, are hard to find for a hockey team. So I will just say that.
Yeah. Okay. So last call in the chat there. I think we're about ready to wrap things up, because sadly there's not a lot of fun stuff to talk about tonight. And you know, with second round, there are less games, so there's less interesting things happening, and you know, less games on. But overall, I think I like these playoffs much better than the NBA playoffs, in at least in one respect, that the NBA is 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4 out of the first round. Doesn't happen every year, but effectively that first round is pointless because low seeds never win. In hockey, low seeds win probably more than people would like them to win, but they can win. You have a chance if you're in the dance.
So you're saying there is a chance.
There is a chance. So with that, we should probably wrap up. So your final thoughts on the night?
I thought the Sharks played well for 20 minutes, blew it into 10 minutes in the second and third. Jones played well. That's the really that's the real big spotlight. Game 3 is going to be the series decider, I have a feeling. Edgar is the podcast loudmouth tonight, so I'll give him a shout out. But you can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet, free to talk hockey all the time. Getting to that point of the year when there's only two games a night, so enjoy the playoff hockey. This is the best time of the year, so enjoy it. But once again, Twitter Al Martinet, and I will see you next time.
For sure. And I'll just let the Edgar cam go here while I talk. But as always, be sure to subscribe. We do this every post game. I promise they're a lot more fun when it's a win, or even when it's people who are a little bit more charismatic than myself. You can find me on Twitter at ChrisJWS. My final thoughts is just brush it off, go on next game, win the next game, and it's all fine. Please follow Teal Town USA on Twitter, on the gram, on all those other things. Check out TealTownUSA.com. And Edgar, do you have something to say to the people? No, he doesn't. Okay. Well, if he could, he would say, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it really, really, really teal. Good night, everyone.